Well, good morning. Welcome to worship here at Calvin Christian Reformed Church. It's good to see you all here. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting. This is a special Sunday with Dominic's baptism, and we extend to you the hand of Christian fellowship, and we pray that you would be blessed and that Christ would be exalted in your lives as you are among us as well. A few announcements before we get started. Today is Father's Day, so happy birthday, or I should say happy Father's Day, to all you fathers. I can say happy birthday to Dominic because today's his spiritual birthday, but the rest of you, Father's Day, happy Father's Day. Blessings upon all the fathers in our congregation. Again, in a culture that struggles with the idea of fatherhood, it is a blessing that in the household of God, we can learn what it means to pass on the faith to the next generation, both fathers and mothers. So, blessings upon all you fathers this day and upon all you who wish to be fathers and who are spiritual fathers. A couple other announcements. We would ask you to continue to pray for John and Marilyn Noble. They have moved to Happy Siesta in Remsen and are recovering from the accident still. Keep Glenda Hofflin in your prayers. Not only is she struggling with pain from a kidney stone, but also with all the rain and everything, that's not helping her lungs any. So please continue to pray for Glenda. And also a prayer of thanksgiving. Gail, Janet Van Leeuwen's sister, her tumor is gone. So that she had radiation, and in God's grace, the tumor is gone. So that's an answer to prayer. So give thanks to God for that in your prayers this week as well. Also, today's special offering is for the Bible League. And then the council will meet this Tuesday, so a little different because we're having Bible school next week and all the evenings are taken up. We will be meeting on Tuesday this week at 7 o'clock p.m. And of course, I mentioned Bible school. There's donations needed, volunteers needed. I'm not going to list all that. It's in here in the bulletin, and all the stuff is in the foyer. So I would encourage you to consider that as well. Also, before I forget, Caitlin has something she would like to say.
VBS is next week. It's coming fast. There's a huge list in the bulletin of donations that we need for food. We need lots of food because we are providing a meal each night for the kids, and so we need those donations. We also need some craft donations. We have some great people who have been working on coming up with crafts, and so there's a whole list there. If you have just random hardware like washers that you don't need at your house, just give them to us. We're going to make really cute robots out of tin cans. So if you have that, we'd love to have them. Also, yard signs. We have yard signs out there. I'm going to talk to some of you. I have a list. So I will come and talk to you and ask if you could just put one of those in your yard. Also, with a week away, we have a lot of empty places for volunteers. It's a lot of it is volunteers. And so I'm really asking you to think about next week and the plans that you have. If you are available, I'd love to have you as volunteers. It's hard. I know some of you say, well, I'm not good with kids, but they don't need a teacher. They just need someone to love them for a week and just to help them hear God's word. So if God is calling you to do that, please just talk to me or sign up in the back.
And you'll get to watch me dress up and make fun of myself. So be encouraged to come. And then while Caitlin and Jacqueline are here, we just want to thank you for your work in Sunday school this past year. So we didn't have a chance to do that. We mentioned it a few weeks ago, but you weren't here. But just thank you. Thank you for your work in Sunday school this past year. With these things in mind, brothers and sisters, would you stand for our call to worship this morning? Our call to worship comes from Psalm 99, a psalm of the warrior king, the God who is enthroned on high. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion, he is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy, the king is mighty, he loves justice. You have established equity, O Lord. In Jacob you have done what is just and right. So exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. And as we come into his presence with those words, we sing together our song of worship, Come, Thou Almighty King. And so as we come into God's presence with festal hymns of praise, coming to the Mount Zion, he greets us with these words this morning, rolling down the slopes towards us. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. You may be seated. At this point in our liturgy, we usually have a prayer of confession. But this morning we are celebrating the sacrament of holy baptism. And baptism is, by its very nature, about confession of sin and about repentance unto new life. So now hear now the words of holy baptism, the institution of holy baptism. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us hear the Lord's command concerning the sacrament of holy baptism. After he had risen victorious from the grave, Jesus said to his disciples, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In obedience to this command, the church baptizes believers and their children. Let us then recall also the teaching of Scripture itself concerning the sacrament of baptism. The water of baptism signifies the washing away of our sin by the blood of Christ and the renewal of our lives by the Holy Spirit. It also signifies that we are buried with Christ. From this we learn that our sin has been condemned by God, that we are to hate it and to consider ourselves as having died to it. Moreover, the waters of baptism signify that we are raised with Christ. From this we learn that we are to walk with Christ in newness of life. All this tells us that God has adopted us as his children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Thus, in baptism, God seals the promises he gave us when he made his covenant with us, calling us and our children to put our trust for life and death, in Christ our Savior, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him in obedience and love. God graciously includes our children in his covenant, and all his promises are for them as well as us. Jesus himself embraced the little children and blessed them, and the Apostle Paul said that the children of believers are holy. So just as children of the old covenant receive the sign of circumcision, our children are given the sign of baptism. We are therefore always to teach our little ones that they have been set apart by baptism as God's own children. Notice there again, by baptizing them and by teaching them. So brothers and sisters, at this point, I would ask you to stand as we confess our faith together, and especially the parents, but the whole congregation can stand in this because we're going to join in a confession of faith together. So Troy and Alyssa, having heard God's gracious promises to us in Christ, do you desire that Dominic Dean Hughes be baptized? And now the whole congregation joining in to confess our faith together. Do you, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of evil that rebel against God? I renounce them. Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you away from the love of God? I renounce them. Do you turn to Jesus Christ? Yes, I trust Him as my Lord and Savior. Do you intend to be Christ's faithful disciple, trusting His promises, obeying His word, honoring His church, and showing His love as long as you live? Yes, God helping me. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, Amen. Will you devote yourself to the church's teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers? With God's help. Let us pray together. We thank you, O God, for our baptism into Christ's death and resurrection. In the beginning, your Spirit moved over the waters. In the time of Noah, you destroyed evil in the water of the flood, and by your saving ark, you gave a new beginning. In the night of trouble, you led Israel through the sea. In the water of the Jordan, our Lord was baptized. In the baptism of Christ's death and resurrection, you have set us free from sin and death and opened up the way to eternal life. May Christ, who sank deep into death and was raised Lord of life, keep us and our little ones in the grip of His hand. May your Spirit separate us from sin and mark us with a faith that can stand the light of day and endure the dark of night. To you be all honor and glory, dominion and power, now and forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This time, I invite the congregation to be seated and the Hughes family to come forward. You coming too, Veronica? All right. There you go. Okay, how do you want to do this? You want to come over here? All right. Dominic Dean Hughes, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our holy God, we are gracious. We are thankful for your grace, I should say, in Jesus Christ. We are thankful that you have brought Dominic into your people, and now may you bless and keep him. Make your face to shine upon him. Be gracious to him and lift up your countenance upon him. Give him your peace, I pray. May he be a soldier in Christ's army. In Christ's name, amen. As we well, brothers and sisters, we now receive Dominic Dean Hughes into Christ Church, and I charge you to nurture and to love Dominic and to assist him to be Christ's faithful disciple. So will you respond with this? With joy and thanksgiving, we now welcome you into Christ Church, for we are all one in Christ. We promise to love and encourage and support you, and to help you know and follow Christ. As the Hughes family makes its way back down, we respond together. We welcome Dominic with this hymn of praise together. Great is thy faithfulness.
Reading from Romans 5, verses 1 through 8. The passage is called Peace and Hope. Therefore, since you have been justified through faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has poured out into our hearts, has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord.
From Psalm 116, portions of Psalm 16, 116, and we will read it responsively. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. This, too, is the word of the Lord. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew's gospel, beginning at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we always read the gospel from the center of the congregation because it symbolizes that Jesus Christ came down from his throne on high to be a human being, to be one with us, to take on our flesh. So hear now the words of Jesus near to you in your very heart. Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel of the Lord. Reading this morning comes from Numbers chapter 1. Listen carefully to it. It's not a passage that you might normally expect a sermon to be on, but we're beginning a sermon series in the book of Numbers. So hear God's word from Numbers chapter 1. The Lord spoke to Moses in the tent of meeting in the desert of Sinai on the first day of the second month of the second year after the Israelites came out of Egypt. He said, Take a census, or number, the whole Israelite community by their clans and families, listing every man name by name, one by one. You and Aaron are to count according to their divisions, or to their thousands, all the men in Israel who are 20 years old or more and are able to serve in the army. One man from each tribe, each of them the head of his family, is to help you. These are the names of the men who are to assist you. There are 12 of them. From Reuben, the tribe of Reuben, Eleazar, son of Shedeur. From Simeon, Shelumiel, son of Zerushaddai. From Judah, Nashon, the son of Aminadab. From Issachar, Netanel, son of Zuar. From Zebulun, Eliab, son of Helon. From the sons of Joseph, from Ephraim, Elishama, son of Aminahub. From Manasseh, Gamaliel, son of Pedahazur. From Benjamin, Abidan, the son of Gideoni. From Dan, Ahiezer, the son of Amishadai. From Asher, Pagiel, son of Ochran. From Gad, Elisaph, son of Duel. From Naphtali, Ahira, son of Enon. These were the men appointed from the community, the leaders of their ancestral tribes. They were the heads of the clans of Israel. Now Moses and Aaron took these men whose names had been specified and called the whole community together on the first day of the second month. The people registered their ancestry by their clans and families, and the men 20 years old or more were listed by name, one by one, as the Lord commanded Moses. And so he counted them in the desert of Sinai. From the descendants of Reuben, the firstborn son of Israel, all the men 20 years old or more who were able to serve in the army were listed by name, one by one, according to the records of their clans and families. The number from the tribe of Reuben was 46,500. From the descendants of Simeon, all the men 20 years old or more who were able to serve in the army were counted and listed by name, one by one, according to the records of their clans and families. The number from the tribe of Simeon was 59,300. From the descendants of Gad, all the men 20 years old or more who were able to serve in the army were listed by name according to the records of their clans and families. The number from the tribe of Gad was 45,650. From the descendants of Judah, again, all the men 20 years old or more who were able to serve in the army were listed by name according to the records of their clans and families. The number from the tribe of Judah was 74,600. From the descendants of Issachar, all the men 20 years old or more who were able to serve in the army were listed by name, according to the record of their clans and families. The number from the tribe of Issachar was 54,400. From the descendants of Zebulun, again, all the men 20 years old or more who were able to serve in the army were listed by name according to the records of their clans and families. The number from the tribe of Zebulun was 57,400. From the sons of Joseph, the two tribes. From the descendants of Ephraim, all the men 20 years old or more who were able to serve in the army were listed by name according to the records of their clans and families. The number from the tribe of Ephraim was 40,500. From the descendants of Manasseh, all the men 20 years old or more who were able to serve in the army were listed by name according to the records of their clans and families. The number from the tribe of Manasseh was 32,200. And from the tribe of Benjamin, the descendants there, all the men 20 years old or more who were able to serve in the army were listed by name according to the records of their clans and families. The number from the tribe of Benjamin was 35,400. And from the descendants of Dan, all the men 20 years old or more who were able to serve in the army were listed by name, according to the records of their clans and families. The number from the tribe of Dan was 62,700. From the descendants of Asher, all the men 20 years old or more who were able to serve in the army were listed by name, according to the records of their clans and their families. The number from the tribe of Asher was 41,500. And from the descendants of Naphtali, all the men 20 years old or more who were able to serve in the army were listed by name according to the records of their clans and their families. The number from the tribe of Naphtali was 53,400. These were the men counted by Moses and Aaron and the 12 leaders of Israel, each one representing his family. All the Israelites 20 years old or more who were able to serve in the Lord's army were counted according to their families. The total number was 603,550. Now the ancestral tribe of the Levites, however, were not counted among the others. The Lord had said to Moses, "You must not count the tribe of Levi or include them in the census of the other Israelites. Instead, appoint the Levites to be in charge of the tabernacle of the covenant law, over all its furnishings and everything belonging to it. They are to carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings. They are to take care of it and encamp around it. Whenever the tabernacle is to move, the Levites are to take it down. And whenever the tabernacle is to be set up, the Levites shall do it. Anyone else who approaches it is to be put to death. The Israelites are to set up their tents by divisions, each of them in their own camp under their standard. The Levites, however, are to set up their tents around the tabernacle of the covenant law, so that my wrath will not fall on the Israelite community. The Levites are to be responsible for the care of the tabernacle of the covenant law." So the Israelites did all this just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Brothers and sisters, this strange word too is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me this morning that God's word would enter our hearts and minds? Holy Father, we come before you once again and we seek your face. We seek your presence. Descend upon us by your Spirit. Open our hearts, open my mouth, and may Jesus Christ be glorified once again this morning, we pray. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. So, when I was 18 years old, just turned 18, a few days after my birthday, I went down into the basement of my parents' house. I turned on the computer. I dialed into the internet. Yes. Got on. And I went to a website that ended in the three letters G-O-V, gov. And there was a page there, and it asked for my name, my individual name, Nevada, my family name, DeLapp, and my social security number, which I won't tell you. I put all of those things in, and I clicked on the submit button. The page took a moment to refresh, no high-speed internet. And when it refreshed, a new page was before me, and it said, "This is your selective service number. Keep it in a safe place." And in that moment, I had gone from being a child to being someone numbered in the United States Army's database. If there was a war somewhere between my 18th birthday and my 25th birthday, the United States Army could call me up and say, "It's time to come fight." They could draft me into service. And in our text this morning, all the numbering is also very much like a draft. In fact, it is a draft. You see, the Holy God of Israel, Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, had swept the armies of Pharaoh under the Red Sea, bringing the people out safely, this ragtag bunch of children and slaves. He had guided them to Mount Sinai. And there at Mount Sinai, he had descended down upon the peak in holy darkness and in terrible fire. And the people had been terrified and begged Moses, "Please go up to the mountain. You speak to God for us." And so Moses had walked the lonely path of ascending to God, his knees shaking and trembling as he entered the holy darkness and entered the fire. And there on the mountain, God, the warrior God, told Moses his instructions for his people, how to live before him in love towards him and love towards each other. 10 words, 10 commandments that would constitute Israel as not just a sort of assemblage of slaves and children and those who had been carted out of Egypt, but now an actual people with a constitution, a nation. And even as he gave Moses those instructions, he also gave Moses a vision there on the mountain, the vision of a place of worship, a tent that would be a sort of body for God, a place where God might dwell among his people. A movable Mount Sinai to walk with the people in their journeys. Because the time was at hand. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. Israel had come to Mount Sinai. They were receiving God's instruction on how to be a nation. And now there was the promised land ahead of them, full of the enemy. And so Moses makes his way back down the mountain. And in his mind is that vision of that tabernacle, that place where the holy darkness and the fire of God will dwell. A skin of tent pegs and stakes and coverings, hides, animal hides dyed into various colors, all to cover the glory of God, to incarnate the glory of God in the midst of the people. And this is on his mind as he walks down the slopes, holding those 2 rough stone tablets in his hands. And halfway down the slope, he meets Joshua. And Joshua is worried. There is a sound coming from the camp, shouting, chants. He is sure that a war has broken out, that while Moses has been up on the mountain, someone has attacked the people of Israel. Joshua always has battle on the mind. But Moses assures him, no, This is not the sound of crows of victory. This is not the sound of wailing of defeat. This is the sound of a drinking party. And sure enough, when they reach the base of the mountain and enter into the camp, a sight awaits them. A golden calf and the people circling it and dancing before its golden hooves and horns. And yet Joshua is also right, because there is a battle brewing in the camp. Aside from Aaron, the one who has sculpted this calf for the people and proclaimed, "This is your God that brought you out of Egypt," the other Levites are worried, upset. This doesn't seem right. And so when Moses calls in a thundering voice of anger, "All those who are with Yahweh to me," the Levites, his kinsmen, all rally around him. They draw their swords, and at his command, they strike the Israelites. And that day, 3,000 of the people die, their corpses bloating in the hot sun. But with that battle over, and with the sin forgiven, once again, God brings up the tabernacle, the tent where he will dwell with his people. And God inspires some of the greatest craftsmen in the camp, and they begin to put together the ropes, to weave the fabric together, to dye it into the various colors, to fashion the altars, to fashion the candlesticks. And they do everything according to Moses' vision on the mountain. And then, on the first day of the first month of the second year, as the people are going out of the land of Egypt into the promised land, that holy darkness and fire of God comes down off the mountain and enters the tent. And the whole thing is filled with glory, glory everywhere. Moses cannot even enter the tent because the glory is so intense. The God of all creation has stooped to take on this tabernacle, to take on this almost body of a tent. And for 1 month, there was glory everywhere. Glory in that tent and surrounding, swirling cloud and darkness. And then, at the end of the month, God calls to Moses again, and he commands Moses to do one more thing. And we can imagine the scene. 12 tables set up, 12 sturdy tables set up all throughout the camp. And at each table stands the head of the respective tribe. And beside the head of the tribe, the chief of the tribe, sits a scribe at the table, a roll of parchment scrolls beside him, his stylus scratching up marks. All throughout the camp, there's the tribe of Naphtali over there. The table for the tribe of Judah is near the base of the mountain, the line now stretching around the mountain south side, because there are lines forming at each of the tables. There is chatter in the lines, excitement. The hot desert wind is blowing. The sharp smell of human sweat everywhere as the sun beats down on the weathered faces and the tanned arms. And the process at each table is very simple, and it's always the same. A young man steps forward, a scraggle of whiskers on his face. The scribe motions him closer, closer. Name: Jonathan, father's household, son of Eliav, tribe, Issachar. Good for you. Scribe continues to write. All right, number 3,432. Corner of his scroll blows up in the wind. He slaps it down. It's been a long morning already, and the line for the tribe of Issachar is still stretching by the thousands back. But Netanel, the chief of the tribe of Issachar, steps forward. "Jonathan, welcome to the army, son. Next." And the process repeats itself all throughout the day and the next, as one by one, all of the war host of Yahweh is assembled. All of the army of the Lord is drafted. out of the children of Israel. In an instant, young men like Jonathan, son of Eliab, go from being children or slaves into being warriors of the Most High God. They are now part of the battalion of the Lord. There is no more anarchy. There is no more chasing after golden calves. Now he will march in orderly formations behind the God of Israel. God will go before his people as they head towards the promised land. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom that has been promised to the children of Israel is at hand. And so the one who dwells in holy darkness, who takes the tent upon himself, will go before them into battle, and the hosts will march in all of their divisions behind. Yahweh has drafted them into his service. He has numbered them for battle. And whenever a war breaks out, number 3,432, report. And with every number, with every dog tag handed out, it is the sealing of a promise made 400 years before when the Lord of hosts had taken Abraham out from his tent and said, "Look, Abraham, see the stars in the sky? There are only a few of you now. You don't even have a son yet. But your descendants will be like the stars, thousands upon thousands, like the grains of sand by the seashore." And so as they are numbered one by one, the generation stretching down all the way to King David, thousands upon thousands, 603,550. It is the fulfillment of that promise. The thousands of Israel, the hosts of Israel, a great army proceeding to take the land that had been promised to Abraham. Yahweh is preparing to take his kingdom. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Believe the good news. Now, brothers and sisters, if we are honest with ourselves, when I began to read the passage this morning, our minds began to wander a little bit, right? And there were 74,600 to the tribe of Judah. And all the men, 20 years old and older. Why is this in the Bible, right? It's a really strange passage. It doesn't seem to resonate with us as modern people. And okay, I've explained that it's a draft, right? Okay, that's interesting. But what does it have to do with us? What does it have to do with us that, let's see, the tribe of Dan had 62,700 men who were 20 years old or older. What does that have to do with us? Is this just a random list of names? Yeah, it was a draft, but okay. A record of recruits joining the host of God. What does it have to do with us? Finally, brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. What does Numbers 1 have to do with us? Everything. Because we too are part of the hosts of the Lord, the battalion of God, marching into this world for the sake of the kingdom of God. What do you think Jesus is doing when he goes around in Israel crying out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near"? One of the things he is doing is mustering the troops. It's time for a reconquest of the Holy Land. It is time not just for the meek to inherit the land of Israel, but for the meek to inherit the earth. for all of creation, Jew and Gentile alike, to bow before the risen King. In our gospel reading this morning, we saw the first wave of this as Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and sent them out on mission to the lost sheep of Israel. Did you notice the similarity? 12 tribes gathered around Moses and Aaron. Name by name, they are drafted into the war host and sent out for service. 12 new tribes, 12 apostles gathered around Jesus. Name by name, Peter, Andrew, James, John, the chiefs of the new 12 tribes gathered around Jesus, sent out in mission to the house of Israel to gather through the recruits, to set up the tables. Jesus began to muster a war host. And it is God who sets up the tables through his apostles. He scatters them throughout the world, and the Spirit of God blows like a hot desert wind. And here come the people of God, forming up a line, name by name, male and female. There is no distinction now. All are in the battalion of the Lord. All are called to service. All gear up for battle. All strap on the armor of God. And the triune God brings us all into the fight for his kingdom. But when does he number us? When does he give us our selective service number? I'll give you a hint. We had a numbering this morning. You see, it is in baptism that God numbers us, that he brings us into the host of God. This morning, Dominic got his selective service number. He got the promise of dog tags. This morning, Dominic was brought into the battalion of the Lord. And if he takes the promise given to him and receives it in faith, he will fight for the Lord's kingdom. The triune God drafts us, brothers and sisters. He drafts us into his service when we are even babies. He calls us to himself. Jeremiah the prophet said, "You have known me from the womb." God makes us into his host. He calls us to service in his kingdom. Before he ascended into heaven, the Lord Jesus, who was our tabernacle with God, right? The Word became flesh, and John tells us, tabernacled among us, tented among us. Matthew tells us the story right at the end of his gospel. Jesus goes away to a mountain, right? So you got the tabernacle of God right beside a mountain, and they worship him there, right? So tabernacle, a place of worship. And Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." It's time to get up in formations and head out to battle. It's time to conquer the world. It's time to bring new people into the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, you were baptized. You were drafted into God's service. God numbered you. And now he calls you to participate with him in his salvation of the world. He arms you with his word, with holiness, and with prayer. You matter because the Spirit of God has numbered you in Christ and put you in God's war host. The only question is, which section of the armed services has he drafted you into? Are you in the infantry? Are you in the Air Force? Are you in the Navy? Maybe the Marines? Maybe you're in the Secret Service around the tabernacle? The Levites? Where has God called you to serve? Where is he calling you to serve? You see, in a battle, soldiers don't sit about twiddling their thumbs. How is God drilling you? How is God training you for warfare in this world? Service in the kingdom of God, of course, is not just about ministers and missionaries. We like to emphasize the work of ministers and missionaries. But the reality is that the work of the kingdom of God is for all of us. When we step foot in our workplace, we are an ambassador of Christ. We are a soldier of Christ. We are seeking to be a witness to righteousness. We are seeking to be a place of prayer, a person who is wreathed in prayer, in truth. It makes a world of difference if you are fighting for the kingdom of God at your job, in your home. Some of the fiercest blows that fall upon the satanic horde are found in the father changing his kid's diaper, a self-denial moment, are found in the factory worker listening to his supervisors berating with patience and responding in kindness. Sometimes that does far more than a minister flapping his gums. That is where the battle is fought. Those are the trenches. But maybe God is calling you to even more service. We're looking right now for deacons and elders in our congregation. And I know it's work. And it can be a fearful undertaking. And yet, maybe the Spirit of God is pressing it upon your heart to consider adding this bit of service in His kingdom. Or maybe there's a young person sitting here this morning who doesn't know what God has drafted them to do yet. Maybe He's drafting you for any sort of thing. But maybe He's also drafting you into ordained ministry. We don't often make the call anymore to young people, encouraging them to think about the ministry. And yet, the Spirit of God sometimes is calling our children into that service. Maybe Christ is drafting you to be part of the Secret Service, part of the Levites around the tabernacle, mediating the presence of God to the people of God. God has drafted you. He has numbered you. Where are you serving and where will you serve in the kingdom of God? Because at the end of the day, it is His battle. It is His war. And because of that, there will be victory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I would invite you to stand now for our song of response, where Christ calls us, "Will you come and follow me?" You may be seated. We now come before our God through our tabernacle, Jesus Christ, and we offer our prayers to him this morning. Will you pray with me? Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you thanks this morning and praise that you have drafted a new member into your host, Dominic. Father, thank you for Dominic. Thank you for all of the promise that he is for us. And thank you for all of your promises to him and to us, that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church, and that you, at the end of all ages, will set up your kingdom in this whole world, renewing it with your holy fire and making a new heavens and a new earth. Thank you, Lord, for numbering us. Thank you for baptizing us into your people, for laying your claim upon us, for loving us before we loved you, and for calling us to be your people, to be your soldiers. Lord, this morning we remember others who fight the good fight of faith, those who cannot be with us, and those who are among us who struggle with health. We think this morning of John and Marilyn Noble. We pray for healing for them. We pray for John and Mary Van Hill's daughter, Sandra. We pray for healing for her. We pray, Lord, that her treatment would continue to be effective. We pray as she comes home for a few months before returning to finish the treatment, that you would bless her in her time here. Lord, be with her. We think of Glenda Hofflin this morning, struggling with kidney stones, struggling with pain, and struggling to breathe, Lord. Lord, she is your child. She has been through so much. Be with her. Uphold her. We pray for Karen DeLapp's mother this morning. Father, as the ALS progresses, we pray that you would walk with her, that you would give her courage, and that you would give her peace as she walks through the valley of the shadow of death. Father, this morning we pray for Greg Smith. We pray that you would be with him as well. Lord, give him the strength for each day. Thank you, Lord, for the effectiveness of the treatment of his cancer, but continue, Lord, to make his treatment effective. Bring him into remission, we pray. We pray for our shut-ins this morning, Lord. We think of Patty Ritzema. We think of Margaret Hopp. We think of Denise Masterbergen. We think of our friend Jan Sneller and her mother Joanne. Lord, they cannot be with us, so you be with them. Come to them through Jesus. This morning we pray for all of your recruits who sit brokenhearted in the pew, the cares of this life weighing them down, the frustrations of the battle. Lord, be with them, encourage them, refresh them, and lead them once again to your peace, found only in Jesus, your Son. And so, Father, as one outpost of your army, as one outpost of your battalion, we speak our Lord's words to you this morning, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, I would ask the deacons to come forward and to take our morning offering. The Bible League. Will you stand for our parting blessing this morning? Brothers and sisters, as you go out in mission and in ministry, and when I say that, I mean it, ministry into this world, to go out to love and to serve God, remember that of the 12 tribes around the base of the mountain lined up, the most of the people, well, all of the people in the 603,550 who were numbered for battle were not clergy. They were bakers, they were bricklayers, they were craftsmen. Levites get numbered later. There's only like 8,000 of them. You go out in mission and in ministry where God has drafted you. Go out to love and to serve the Lord, and go out with His blessing this morning. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. And all of God's children said, Amen.
New song. It's Go to the World.